Parshas Noach, I'd like to just mention a few short thoughts and then get to what's really on my mind as far as the parsha. Just one or two vertla. Question I have, I don't know if I mentioned to you last year or not, but a question I always have on the parsha. Somebody told me a teretz, I don't remember it because the kasha I have for many years and the teretz only. Rashi makes a cheshbon in the parasha on the pasuk Nirei Rashi Haharim, and it says that at the end of the Marble, the Rashi Haharim became revealed. So Rashi makes a cheshbon that it took 60 days from when the water started going down till the Rashi Haharim was seen, and for 15 amos above the Rashi Haharim. So Rashi makes a cheshbon that the waters went down 4 days per amos. Rashi makes a cheshbon that the table was 11 amos into the water, whatever his cheshbon is, but Rashi makes such a cheshbon. This is, it took 60 days for the water to disappear, and until the Rashi Aharon was seen, so Rashi has a cheshbon that it went down 1 amma per 60 days. Problem is, it went down 1 amma per 4 days, 60 days, 15 amma, so 1 amma per 4 days. The problem is that it says in the pasuk that 60 days later was Yavsha HaAdama. The whole earth dried out 60 days later. If the water went down, Rashi seems to assume it went down on a consistent basis. Otherwise, Rashi's question doesn't make sense. Rashi's assuming, by making this calculation, that it kept on going down every 4 days, 1 amma. The Rashi, if another 60 days, it should have only gone down another 15 amis, which is about 25-30 feet. From the Rashi Aharim till the Adama is more than 25 feet. Right, the mountains are more than 25 feet tall. So even if it doesn't mean the biggest mountain, it just means Hararara, still it should have taken more than 60 days to go down the rest of the way. You have to say that it wasn't consistent. That the way it dried out was not consistent. Then Rashi told Cheshbon is off. Rashi, making his cheshbon that the teva stuck 11 amos into the earth, goes with this calculation, with the assumption that the whole first 60 days it went on a consistent basis. That whole calculation doesn't follow. If you're, so I don't know. It's a problem I always had. Someone once explained that the earth is a circle, is a globe. So when you have more water, it takes longer to evaporate, and as you get in, it's less water and it evaporates quicker. But that doesn't account for such a great discrepancy between the first 60 days and the second 60 days. I don't know. I see it's a problem in Rashi. If we have a shot, I'd like to hear it. Another nakuda in the parasha is, it says that there was a tzaya lateva. So Rashi brings two pshat. So one pshat is that there was a chalayim, that there was a window for the teva. That window allowed the light in. And Rashi's second shot is that there was an even type. There was a type of stone that gave off light that lit up the teva. There's a very nice pshat in the Torah Tamima. That's a very satisfying pshat. He says he never saw a stone that gives off light. There's stones that sparkle, but they only sparkle because they reflect light. No stone that we know of that gives light. So what does it mean? There's an even type that gave light to the table. So he has a very nice pshat. He says that certainly there was a chalain in the table. Certainly. And grad that those, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it, there are people who claim to have found the table in Mount Ararat, on the border between Turkey and Iraq. But they say that there are windows. There's a row of windows on the top of the table. The Torah Tumima writes that it's not pshat that there are two pshatim if there was a chaloin that brought in light from the inside or not. It certainly was an opening to the outside that brought in light. According to the first pshat, there was a glass that you could see through. According to the second pshat, it was an even toiv. He took like they have in the fancy homes, they have these fancy glass bricks that you can't see through as you build a fancy. So the first fancy glass bricks were in Nayach Teva. One pshat is that he had a chalain, a plain pane of glass that you could see through. Second pshat also is that the light came from the outside, but that it was this type of a stone that light could go through, which blocks the vision. So the kudah he brings is because He says the Man D'Yomar who says it was an Eben Tov is Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan is the Man D'Yomar in the beginning of Rashi. Yosh Darshan L'Shvach, Yosh Darshan L'Gnai. If some Darshan L'Shvach, that Rashi doesn't bring that it's any names, but as Hertzmina says, Rabbi Yochanan is the Man D'Yomar who's Darish L'Gnai. That Nayef was not on such a great Madrega. So this is a Chazal that when a person's not on such a Madrega, he's not Zeichet to see the Tzar of those who are punished. He's not on a Madrega. It's one Madrega to be saved, another Madrega to be able to see. He says, Rabbi Yechon Lishitasai, since he holds he was a Darish Lignai, Nayach was not on such a high Madrega. So he holds that it was this type of a stone, it was an Eben type that blocked the vision. The light came through, it blocked the vision. Since it blocked the vision, there's a. He was not able to see out, and that was still his fourth line. It's a nice up patch on the puff. Right, one more short thought, and this nice Nitziv. Nitziv is a very good kasha. Nitziv asks, it says that when Noach went out of the table, it was only after HaKadosh Baruch was Mitzavim. But I'll say, right, it says Vatanach HaTeva, and then it's like he didn't go out yet after Tanach HaTeva, even if they dried off, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said save. So Chazal Darshan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said go into the Teva. Even if the marble's up, you're not allowed to leave the Teva until Hashem says go out. Close the man, Hashem says go in, you have to be in, even if there's no water. You need a Tzavah to be able to go out. So the Tziv asks, what was his heter to send out the Yaina and the Ayre? He sent out the dove and he sent out the raven, the Erev, what was his heter to send them out? If there's such a chazal that when Hashem says go in, you're not allowed to go out till you have a tzavah. So it doesn't say that Hashem told him send out the Yai. No, it says that Nayach did it on his own. He wanted to know what was going on. So he sent out the Yai. What was his heter to send out the Yai? Hashem said that you have to bring it with you into the Teva. So what's your heter to send it out? So he answers, in the Gemara we find Dafka Yaina and Oirev were pets of an Adam Chashev. Such a thing that the Adam Chashev used to have the pets that they used to keep for an Yaina and Oirev. It brings from the Gemara. So he teaches that this Yaina and Oirev that he sent out were not Yena, Yaina and Oirev that were sent in that lived on the second floor of the, right? The second floor is where all the animals live. The third floor is where he lived. So whatever was in the second floor, Hashem said, has to go in the Dafka, there's no head to send it out. Dafka, the Yain and the Erev, they lived on the third floor. Kadosh Baruch Hu told you to go in and take Kol HaShi'itach, take whatever you want with you. But that was already optional. He wasn't the place to take his pets in with him, you're not taking everything. That was already an option of taking it. The things that were an option of taking in, so that he doesn't have to send it out, you know, to take it in. And this is Baratan. So you can take everything, then you're right. But he assumes Chalashitah means whatever you want to take with you, they're optional things. But if that was an optional Chalashitah, was an optional Chalashitah, then. With its Benzugai. Yeah, so you have to say that what? That he had two pay, he had two Yaimim. But the Pasha Sabarash is mashmah, the Dayan.
Because if you had more than one upstairs and one
downstairs, there was. No, there were two downstairs. Upstairs, there was still maybe two also. I don't have any pets. Okay, alright, these are various look you should have for the Shabbos table. Now I want to talk to you. The Mabul is the first part of this week's parasha. And right after Noach goes out of the Mabul, we find Vayitakara. That Noach goes and he plants a vineyard. And he drinks from the wine. And he gets shikr. And whatever happened to him there, whatever the Maisa was, Rashi says a terrible thing happened to him. And first one of his sons. Here's a medrash. Medrash that's put down in many of the drasha svarim. The medrash says that for Isa Yagnata, the day he walked out of the teva, for Isa Yagnata, that day he planted the kerem. And on that day, the kerem gave its fruits, and that day he drank from the wine, and on that day everything that happened is pasuk there. It was like a Jack and the Beanstalk, right? It grew very fast. Not only grew very fast, but you have to realize if you, I don't know if you know, when you squeeze grapes, you don't get wine from it. When you squeeze grapes, you get grape juice. You don't get shikha from grape juice. It fermented, it became wine, b'yisayayim, b'yisayayim shasam, b'yisayayim kilkel, the whole thing was on b'yisayayim. Everything happened on that day. Which agav is very shver, pshat, this medrash, because it was all on that day, part of his klala is a klala on Knan. Canaan should not have been born by then. It was that day, how was Canaan born already? No? Well, maybe pregnancy worked the same as the Kerem, right? Born that day and he already was right of a clover, and that day he was already a barasekel, he was very...
Well, everything grew that day.
Because of his father. So the klala was on Canaan even though he was still a tiny baby. Why take it out? If it took a year, it took a
year. If everything grew in that day.
Canaan, Tolkham. Okay. So he told Chum, so he had to be something. So unless it was the same bracha that happened to the Kerem, happened to Canaan, I don't know.
We didn't say he was born in that day.
No, he wasn't in the Teva. You know he was. Because the six went in and six went out, Rashi says, right? Six went in and six went out.
So just like everything grew on the same day. Everything grew on that day.
So could be he became a big boy that day, maybe. Just think how the shot it took. Anyway, that wasn't the Nakuda that I wanted to mention. The Nakuda I wanted to bring out, and the Nakuda which says in Sfarim. Many Sfarim Rambam speaks about it very often in Parashas Noach. It's the idea of why this happened. Why would it happen? We spoke about it yesterday. The Nakuda the Nakuda is that there was a tremendous shefa of bracha after the Mabel. When we say from the Mabel, there was a tremendous shefa of bracha. And any time there's a tremendous shefa of bracha, so what a person does afterwards brings bracha, it's a continuation of that shefa of bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after his anger, after his time of anger, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and brought rachamim on the world. The fact that the world dried up and that Noach started the world again was a tremendous shefa of rachamim. So what? But Rashi's calculation is not muchach at that kashya stage. Anyway, there was a tremendous shefa of rachamim, and Memela, whatever he was going to do when he got out of the table, was going to bring him bracha. And he chose, Noach was mekalkel on that day, that he went and he chose to use the shefa of bracha on a kerem, use it on wine, so he got pretty good wine. It made him very drunk, and it was very geshmak of wine, but he wasted his... He wasted his bracha on that day. Now, what these the Sifrei Musa say about Noach is lav dafka in the keva of the Bria Kula. It's like a true in the way Kadosh Baruch Hu is Noach himself in the Bria. We find that whenever there's a time of Zam and then it changes to Rachamim, there's a big shefa of Rachamim. That's true, and that's something that that we find always in the history of Klal Yisrael. Even that the state of Israel came right after the Holocaust was also an example of a shefa of rachamim, which follows the time of a shefa of din. But the Gemara seems to say that this is true about a yachid as well. That in a person's individual life, a person also has streaks. Means in a person's personal life, that there are times when a person has streaks. There are times where a person has a streak where things are going good, where things don't go well. And the Gemara says something in Rosh Hashanah which technically doesn't seem to stim. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that Barba Prakim Ha'olam Nidai, the world is judged four times a year, not just Rosh Hashanah. And the Pesach Ala Tvua, one of them is that on Pesach, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is down the world on Tvua. How much Tvua is going to grow, how well it's going to grow, how much you're going to get. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is down that on Rosh Hashanah. So it's done that on Pesach. I'm very tired. Amar Abaye. So the Gemara says, Hilkach. So the Gemara makes a cheshbon. Abaye comes along and he learns something from here. Since the Tvuah is gepaskened up on Pesach, kichazi inish the matzl zara apela, if a person sees that what he plants, his crop, his main crop of the year is matzliach, a person sees he plants chitim and he plants whatever he plants in his field. And he sees it's matzliach, he has an unusually successful year. Ligdim velizra charpa. You should quickly go and plant a second crop of sairim. Sairim is barley. Barley is not a very valuable thing. It's a Michael Behema. And Michael of Cholent also. I mean, people eat it sometimes. But the barley itself is not so chashev. It's not like wheat that you make bread out of. But you should plant it because barley grows very fast. The Ademati, the Medine, that before comes Pesach, and you'll have another din in Shemayim, Kadim Salik. It'll already grow. So what's the Vart? The Vart is that if a person sees it's, things are going well, so he should quickly chap a rein and plant and get something more from it. Get something more this year. Which is the same idea as Nayach, right? Things were going well for Nayach. So Ligdim, you have to go quick and chap a rein. When things are going well, you should chap a rein and do vayd. Now technically, if you learn this Gemara, there seems to be a problem with the Gemara. Because we're talking about a person who's a Baiteya, is a Baal B'tachin. He's not a Baal B'tachin, so he's going to quickly plant before Pesach. No, someone who's a Baal B'tachin. So he believes the Leif Sholem that Pesach is needed in Al Atul. So you would think a Baal B'tachin would say, look, whatever amount of money I'll make this year, I'm going to make anyway. So what's enough Gemina? We'll get off the pass of Pesach. What do I have to rush and plant Sairim? Fakat, whatever I'm going to make this year, I'll make anyway. No? It's passing from Pesach to Pesach. So what am I going to rush and plant more? So the Gemara seems to say not like that. The Gemara says that for a Baal B'tachin also, the person has to recognize the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. A Baal B'tachin still has to, somebody could be up to Pesach in Rosh Hashanah, he'll make money, but he has to put in the normal effort. Right? It doesn't say for Ikrim that if Rosh Hashanah is up to Pesach, he'll make $1 million. If he sleeps the whole day, he's not going to make his $1 million. It means he has to do a normal Ishtakim. Of course, each person fears my dragon. What the Gemara is saying is that part of normal ishtadlis is for a person should recognize that in life things sometimes work this way. That sometimes if things go well, they're going to go well by them. Because he inish the matzal zara afela. If a person sees that things are going well, so lived in Belizra Charpa. You should quickly go and plant vayta. Because if things are going well, a person he has to know that it's a time to chaparan. It's a big aside in a person's life. I'm not talking to you now about the money aspect of it. I'm talking about the life aspect of it. When things are going well, that a person has to try to chap around as much to use it the right way. When Nayach, what's the criticism of Nayach? Nayach suddenly goes and he has a big shefa of rachamim. So he plants a carom. So you shouldn't have planted a carom. You should have planted a yeshiva. Planted the yeshiva, so suddenly it would have grown. I don't know where the Talmidim would have come from if there was nobody else in the world. Someday they would have come back from Eretz Yisrael that year and they would have filled up the yeshiva. But if a person sees that things are going well, so there's such a metzias in the Bria that Ligdim Velizra Charfa, that a person has to chaparayin more. It's an important insight. Yes, hit a question to which question? Because the answer is that a person has to do normal ishtadlis. Baal B'tachin still has to do a normal ishtadlis. If I say from this Gemara that this is the normal ishtadlis, that's considered normal to be makir, this idea that when things go in a good way, that they that it's a time of atzlacha that a person has to plant vayta. Is a Ralbag in Tanakh who learns this out of a pasuk as well in Tanakh. So Ralbag's style, for those of you who never looked into Tanakh, every once in a while in Tanakh you have sometimes you have the 10 prak and sometimes you have the 20. You have pages in a Mekrois Gedolos Tanakh that look like this. But they look like the Mashon in the back. Right? It's not the back. The next page is again you have Tanakh. The pages before you also have Tanakh. So why suddenly it's not one long period. The Ralbag's style is Ralbag, besides being Mefarish, was one of the big one of the Gedolei Yisrael in philosophy and understanding the Hashgafas Habriyah. So every once in a while, after every set of parakim, Rabag writes the te'elasin, the things that are the te'elas that a person has to learn out. And he lists them, because the te'elas arishin, the te'elas hasheni, the te'elas hashlishi. He goes through a list of te'elasin in Tanakh. The te'elasin are tremendous, many of them are tremendously mooted. And one limud he learns out of a pasuk by David HaMelech, where David, the pasuk says that at a certain point, David realized what was happening to him. He realized, Vayeda David ki yachini Hashem l'melech HaYisrael. Suddenly he realized that things are going well. Why? You have to know the whole story. But something happened, and the pasuk says, suddenly he realized what's going on, that David is David Melech Yisrael. He started off a yid, it was Adam Gadol, but he didn't realize his position in history. Came a certain point, Vayeda David ki yachini Hashem l'melech HaYisrael, v'chinisei mamlachtei b'avoram HaYisrael, that he is something special. The next pasuk says, "Vayikach David oid pilakshim v'nashim." So he made more chasms. He already had six wives at this time, but it wasn't enough. He went and he took more wives. So the Ralbag, which is printed after Perakof Aleph, Shmuel Beis, says the Te'elas Ha'eshem Ve'echad, the 21st Te'elas of Sefer Shmuel, of this part of Shmuel Beis, La'idia. That is a Te'elas for everybody. It's not just David HaMelech. It's not just the Tzibur that can Te'elas for everybody. La'idia sheroi l'mishiyargish. Somebody has a hergish that things are going well. Sometimes a person has a feeling, why do I deserve this, right? Why are things going so well for me? If it didn't happen to you yet, it'll happen someday. You'll have such a feeling, things are going well. So a person has a hergish of hatzlacha. She yishtamesh b'shiyagi alei mimena ma she'efsher. You should use this realization that things are going well bavur Amo Yisrael, to make something of it. To make something purposeful of it. V'u'ata ba'ayfe me'ashkocha l'kis noisef ha'mashahayim ikaydim. V'fizeh shtadl l'kachas noshim v'pilakshim. And he goes into why dafka for him it was important to take more wives. That's a separate story. I'm not telling you if things go well you should take more wives. But for him there was this specific te'elas that he was searching for. And the te'elas the rabbi explains, he felt that Mashiach is going to be born from him now. Till now, he wasn't in such a shef of rachamim. His first six wives are not going to bring him Mashiach. Shloima, from whom Mashiach comes, is born from the wives he takes now. Because now is the shef of rachamim. When things are going well, that things are going to continue to go well. Now, it's a tremendous musig in a person's life is to understand that life sometimes works this way in streaks. It works this way both ways. It works this way. Sometimes when things are going well, there's a tremendous shef of bracha. And a person has to use it for the right things. A person who's in a period of his life where he has a certain bracha that comes, and people usually don't realize it. So we don't generally appreciate the type that we get from a Kaddish Baruch. We have bad, we complain. When we have type, we don't always appreciate it. When a person has this man where he's margish, a satisfaction, a type, that there's a shefa rachamim on him, that a person has to use it for the right things. And from that, things get built for a lifetime. A person is holding at the stage when he gets engaged, a person gets married, a person is zeichet to have a child. These are all periods of a shefa of rachamim. Not everyone's zeichet to what you have. It's a time of a shefa of rachamim. Chichazi in it's the matzlo zare afela. A person sees that his seeds are being matzliach. Afela doesn't mean seeds. Afela means early. So nigdim lizacharpa, you should quickly go and plant something that will quickly take root. It will have atzlach. Now, this is an expression. Rosh Hashanah happens to be a Masechta I've learned many times. It's an expression I use with my wife. She knows already this expression many times. There are two expressions from Shas she knows. One is when I tell her I'm too full to finish eating and then I have room for dessert. I tell her the Gemara Megillah says, Rav Chalup Tzum Ishchiyah. And no matter how full you are, you can always eat ice cream. It doesn't Gemara. So that, I don't know how important that quote is. There's another quote. That is this quote, that when a person sees that something is happening to him that gives him atzlacha, something he hoped for comes through, so he has an achrayus to go and ligdim v'lizra harpa. He has to go quickly and do something, plan something that's going to last. Otherwise, it's like nayach. If he plans something that doesn't have a lasting meaning, then he's failing in the opportunity. It's a lost opportunity. The person has an opportunity in his life. The opportunities don't come that often. When a person has an opportunity, he sees that things, they feel that things are going well, person has to plant the seed for the future. He has to make that there should be something that he sets on himself that'll have some type of a lasting impression. A person during his engagement, if he establishes his rapport with his kala over finances, or over dress, or over a fancy house, so that's what he's planting. It's going to be a shefa rachamim. And he's going to have a tremendous rachamim in worrying about fanciness and worrying about money. And if a person plants seeds then of Torah and Yerushalayim, if that's what he's talking about, if that's what his goals are, so then that's something that's going to blossom. It's going to bring payments. Something's going to come with it. I know a lot of people fall into the trap when they first get married. They're learning a whole day, so at night, so they spend their evening schmoozing with their wife. So they're planting something. What happens later is when they go out to work, maybe this becomes such a period where they don't have time to learn a whole day. Now at night, their rapport with their wife is not based on Torah. What does it mean? You're going to go out and run to learn? What do you mean? She's used to the companionship you have at home. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's not something that's good to spend all night on. It's whatever you plant. If you're going to plant in a rapport with a wife that your time is important to you, if you don't waste your time, so then you'll have that. You'll have that kol yimei chayecha. And it is that way. Whatever you're going to plant in the beginning, you're going to stay. And certainly if it's in a time where both of you have a feeling of hatzlacha, that what you plant is going to have a key. And then the flip side to this as well. If the lesson of this is that things go in streaks, it works the other way also. Things go in streaks where things seem to be going well. And things go in streaks sometimes where things seem to not be going well. The person has to come to Hakara that in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes works the world that way. It's very confusing to a person when a person has problems and they seem to be coming from a lot of different directions. It's very confusing to a person. It's very hard. Now, I don't know the exact answer. But I still want the letter from the Stifler. It's a Sefer Atas HaKilot Yaakov. It's printed yet B'chayim. And he writes there to someone who said that things seem not to be going well. He says that Eitzah HaRishayna is to know that it's normal. You know that in life, sometimes things go well and sometimes things don't go well. He writes, it's K'pnei HaTevel. Like the life is like the surface of the earth. The earth has valleys and mountains. It's like ours also. But the surface of the Bria is many different, he says that in a person's life is the same way. There are valleys, and there are peaks, and there are plateaus. But a person has to be makir that in the valleys, when a person's down on himself or down on something, the person has to realize that it's normal, that life sometimes goes in streaks. It's like the face of the earth. That what? It's sometimes it's straight, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. But the point is that the disciple makes that things are normal. He grabs it, says, come out the same thing, but in the reverse. The insight is that a person should not make life decisions at that time. If a person's upset, you know, it's not the time to make a decision he has to stick with for the rest of his life, because he's not going to make a normal decision at that time. It's like the opposite. When things are going well, so you plan things that have a lasting impression. Things are not going well, you know, it's not the time to decide. A person who's down about something else, and because of that he decides to break certain things in his life, so he's not making his decision with the regular mindset. He's doing it as a man of time. Rabbeinu Tam, Sefer HaYosha, the Sefer HaYosha of Rabbeinu Tam, which was came around later, he talks about it. He gives it a name. He calls it Yimei Ahava, Yimei Hasina. He says there are days, Yimei Ahava, where a person feels like God loves him. Yeah, Yimei Hasina, a person feels like a Kaviyachah, Rav Shalom hates him. Is that what's going on? It's a tell. It's very hard to explain. I once had a ma'isa with a couple, an older couple of survivors from the war. And they spoke to me about how everything was going wrong. He broke his arm, and he wrote, everything, it's true, everything was going wrong. About 4 or 5 weeks later, it was the summer, and he drove their car into the lake. There's a lake, decided on the East 17, I said 130. There's a lake, and you're driving from the mountains down to He drove his car, fell asleep at the wheel, and he drove straight to the lake. Now there's a thing there, but there wasn't anything there then. He drove until he was almost killed. His wife got out of the car, he was still in the car, and she stopped someone who climbed into the car and swam into the car and saved him. And I went to visit him and I heard at the hospital, he wasn't even conscious, she was screaming, what's going on, what's your question? It's very hard to answer. But from that time on, they have only Shefa Bracha. This was already 6 years ago. She's writing a book about it, which I think they're going to publish soon. It had a very cute title, I forgot. It has something to do with the car going into the water. But since then, there's been a tremendous Shefa Bracha. I mean, they've had the tremendous, unusual bracha, side financially and side with their kids. A person has to know that it's normal. A person has to persevere. Hasidus came along and taught an extra nekuda to this. It's another nekuda. It's an arichis on itself to understand certain things. You know, there's a kakasha, why Hashem created evil in the world. The Hasidus came, it's really Kabbalah, the Hasidus harped on it, that really Hashem didn't create evil. Everything's good. It's such ashkafa. That everything really is l'tayv, you just don't see it. Now, there's an arichus about this, but the nekuda that the Baal Shem says, which is Reb Tzadik HaKoyin, more than any of the others that I learned, harps on, is a concept of kinafalti kamti. Kinafalti kamti pashtus means that despite the fact that I fell, I stand up and I go by. The Baal Shem says, and the Talmidim follow very much, that kinafalti kamti, that from the fila, a person has a tzlacha life. That it's not pshat that when you're in a down period of the down streak of your life, that you have to just like hold your breath till it's finished, and then you get back to the mountain, and you could build yourself out. It's not pshat. Pshat is that the nefila itself brings a person to godless later. That the nefila is not bad; it's something good. Of course, it depends how you deal with it, but it's something good. It says in Mishlei that Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam V'Harasha Yikoshel V'Rod. So again, the Baal Shem says Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam doesn't mean even if he falls seven times he stands up. No. It means to be a tzaddik, a person has to fall seven times and get up seven times. If a harasha, a rishon, I think it says yikosh l'bara, they fall and they stay down. When they're down, so they chuck everything and they're finished. But a sheva yipot tzaddik become, a person has to come to a hakara that from the nefila. Reb Tzadik says a lot of amazing things about this. Most of them have to do with, many of them have to do with Tanakh, which later in Malachim Beis there's a meister where he says some incredible things about Rishoyim who led Klal Yisrael the wrong way, and he says if not for that Tayv would have never come later. He makes the best Tayv out of bad things. One place he says in the Gemara above Metziah, Gemara in that Pei Talit, the Gemara says that Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish got into an argument regarding a Sayif Sakin v'Reinech, I think, about a sword or a dagger. When it's Makabal Tumlin, right? A Keli is only Makabal Tumlin, Shinigma Vlachta. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Mishayitzreich Bekusha. When is a sword considered finished? When you heat it up in the Kivsha and the metal gets heated up and it gets hard. Rish Lakish says, no, that's not yet a finished sword. Afterwards, you have to throw it into cold water. Only then it's Makabal Tumlin. But after the Kivsha, before the water, it's not Makabal Tumlin. That's a Machlaik. So Rabbi Yechanan tells Rish Lakish, Listim ballistis yadana, whatever the lashon is. You're a ganif, so you know about swords. Like it's Rish Lakish, for those of you who know, started off he was a robber. Someone says he was a highwayman. So he started off a ganif. Rav Yechanan was makarit. Rav Yechanan, he once went to rob Rav Yechanan. So he was makarit him, right? He jumped over the stream. The whole story. He was makarit him, and he became Rish Lakish. So he tells him, now you think you're a ganif, so you know about Gnezis, you know what you know about Tzur. So the Gemara says, list of a listusa yada. Rabbi Yechon said, you're a ganif, you know about it. So Rish Lakish answered, Umayah, honestly, what Pasha to me is, what did you do for me? Hossam Rebbe Karoli. Vihacha Rebbe Karoli. When I was a ganif, I was the best ganif. They called me the chief. So now they call me the chief. So, very strange Gemara. What's even stranger is the Gemara says after the Cholish died, they did Rav Yechon. Rav Shlokish told him this, Rav Yechon got depressed. Well, the whole Maisa that Cholish Rav Shlokish, so because of that Rav Shlokish got sick, because Rav Yechon got depressed. Why he got depressed? Why is such a smart answer? Rav Shlokish told him. He said, "Why? What does it matter? When I was a Ganev, I was the best Ganev, and now I know best in learning." That's a sharp answer, but. So Rav Tzadik says, with the, based on this side of the. Of the Baal Shem. The period of his life when he was down was when he was a Ganev. Now, from that, he was able to pick himself up from being down and make himself into Reish Lakish. So he said, he was telling Rabbi Yechon that that's godless. I have a godless you don't have. Rabbi Yechon was a godless from the first day. He didn't have such a down period. Not like Reish Lakish at least. So he told him, Fakert, I'm right. Hossam Rabbi Karoli, Valcha Rabbi Karoli. What I did then is a godless. He didn't mean I'm the best. They call me the Rebbe, that they call the best Ganev Rebbe. He says, what I did then was a godless, and what I did now is a godless. Because since I turned around my down period into an up, so Fakert, I became more because of that. I'm better off than if I never was a Ganev. The theme of Reb Tzadik is that it's worth being a Ganev or a Reitzeya. If you're going to turn it around later, better to have all, and I have no hetter to go do it. But it's peledik, the lashonis he says is that it's worth it. He uses sometimes the word kiviyachol, but he says it's worth it to do averis so that afterwards you can become a better person. It's worth it to have a downtime when things don't go well because you can turn it around later. Right? He says on the pasuk, chapseini me'avayni mechatosai tahareini. He says it doesn't mean from my averis clean them away. Mecha toisai from my averis tareini. That itself gives me tire. This is the idea of Rav Tzadik. What does that have to do with you? There's a letter from Rav Husna which I wanted to bring. The yeshiva has a whole set of pachad yitzchak. It's missing the letters, so I neglected to bring it. But you'll have the lashon is beautiful. It's a letter to a bacha from probably from Chaim Berlin, who went to learn at Yisrael and wrote him a letter about how things are going. So he quotes, he doesn't bring the Bacha's letter, but he quotes part of it. He says, this which you write to me. The Bacha wrote to him this lashon. He said that once upon a time I thought that I'll become a big Talmud Chacham, I'll become a Bava B'Torah. And he writes, Hashta, he says, now I see, Odda Tikvasi, that my hope is lost, I'm not going, it's not going to happen. You know, once upon a time I thought I'll be a Matzliach, and now I see I'm not going to be a Matzliach. He wrote him in such a lashon. So Rav Hudna writes him back, and you have to see the Lashon to fully appreciate it. I'll try to give it over to you. His Lashon is something like this. He says, if you would have written me a letter that you're steiging, you're learning well, I would have said that's a good letter. Now that you wrote me this letter, I say it's a great letter. It's a much better letter. Why? As you can think, why is it a better letter? He says, because if you go to learn and you would just steig straight, alright, so you'll become a Bentai, you'll become a Talmud Chacham. But if you're going to have a Yerida, you're going to have a terrible period where you're learning well, where you're not having a Geshmak, you're not having the right Chavrusas, you're not learning well, and it bothers you, and you write me, he's not saying you should have a Yerida, but he's right, you write to me in such a Lashon that shows how it bothers you. He says, from this, you can have an Aliyah to become much more than you would have become if you would just strike straight, if things would work out for you smoothly. And he writes that all the Gedali Yisrael, that's the same letter where he writes in the next paragraph. The next paragraph is more famous. He writes against the biographies. That's the letter where he says he doesn't like all the biographies they print of Gedali Yisrael because they only write that they were great and wonderful and everything was well. You know. He says it would be much better if they write a biography of the Chafetz Chaim. They'd write about how he got depressed when he failed in Yonei Lashon Hara. They would write about it, about he failed and he was depressed and he wasn't a matzliach and then he was this guy there. That would be a good biography. But these biographies are not real. He writes all the Gedali Yisrael had periods where they were not matzliach and they overcame it. Because that's in the Teva HaBriyah. So the idea, this concept is twofold. And both of them are negeah to everybody. Because everybody has times of up and times of down. Some people it's more pronounced, some people it's less. Most people by themselves see it. In the Chayei Olam, the stipler's letter, there's a note, a star on the bottom, near the beginning. It's great. He says, that everybody has a tzara sometimes. It doesn't matter if it's a big tzara or a small tzara. The person feels the same pain. His lashon is teva ha'adam shehatzar memali yisai. The person's nature is when he has a problem, it fills him up. It gets him totally upset. So that if he has a major problem, it upsets him, and if it's a minor problem, it upsets him. But when a person is in the middle of a problem, it takes him over totally. You know, 100 times I thought, I'm having kavanah shmei nesrei, it's because I have this problem I'm thinking about. As soon as it passes, you know, then I'll start having kavanah shmei nesrei. So I'm still waiting, you know. So you have nothing to think about, no shmei nesrei, you know. It's, I don't know, maybe in the nursing home they have nothing else to think about. But it doesn't happen. A person's life, a person always has 5 things to think about, to worry about. So the nekuda is the double nekuda. The nekuda is that in life, it's normal for there to be ups and downs. The person has to recognize that it's normal. That's the stifler's basis. Because they should recognize that it's normal. Without bina, you can't do anything. Without understanding where you're at, you can't do anything. When a person comes to the havana, so there are 2 parts to it. So when things go well, a person has to lizra, a person ligdam lizra charfa. A person has to quickly plant the right seeds. And for the future, you should have the right payers. It's not like Noyach, who ended up with the whole Shefa Bracha, ended up with nothing from the Shefa Bracha. If I care. And when things go not well, you have to know also that it's a normal thing in life for things to go that way. If you have to come to that Korah, you are Avoda when things are not going well, it's to turn things around. It's not to suddenly make decisions in life. Suddenly, you know, you're going to change this and change that, make major changes. No. The person has weaknesses, he has to work on his weaknesses and turn things around. But the lesson is that it's normal. You don't see it by others, people don't advertise it. But by everybody, there are periods when things go well, periods when things go shvach. A person has to grab each opportunity and make the most of it. That's the lesson of this nekuda of the Karen, of